Okay, one more day about the halachas of how we produce matzah. And Mir Hashem, tomorrow we're going to go on to the halachas of Erev Pesach. Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Tufnun Gimel that any one of the five species of grain is acceptable as the ingredients for your matzah. The five species of grain, as we know, chita, saora, shifon, and kusman, and shibola shual. Wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt. Any of those items would be acceptable if you're going to produce matzah from them. We find the Chazal determined that when dough from these five minim ferment, they undergo a process which is halachically deemed to be chimutz. In other words, whatever can become chametz ultimately, when it's exposed to water and whatever other elements cause chimutz, whatever can become chametz is exactly what should be used for matzah. That's what the Yishami says in Maseches Challah, and nothing else. There's an opinion in the Tanaim that says other things, such as rice, can be used for matzah, but Chazal's determination of what constitutes chimutz excludes anything other than those five items on the list we mentioned before. And when you have those five species, you can create what we call halachically lechem. In this case, what we're looking for is lechem oni. And that really helps us determine the status of lechem in other contexts of halach as well, not just matzah, such as brachos, when you say hamotzi lechem in haaretz, the ingredients that require hafreshes challah. It says in the pasuk over there also, v'haya b'chocham, lechem haaretz, and so on and so forth. So when you need lechem, you need these five grains. Nevertheless, there's a minhag that's quoted in the Ramah to prefer chitin, that ideally the optimal ingredient for your matzah should be wheat. And the Mishnah Berurah gives an explanation that wheat is chaviv, it's the most delicious, and it's the desired, preferred flavor of bread and matzah. So by doing so, when you make the matzah as tasty as possible, and different matzahs taste different, you should definitely buy the one that you prefer its taste, because that's a form of hiddur mitzvah. When you enjoy the taste of the matzah, so you'll eat it l'tayavon with excitement, with appetite at the Seder, just like we find other halachas in Chazal that point in the same direction, such as the fact that a person cannot eat matzah on Erev Pesach, so that he'll enjoy it more when he finally gets to the Seder. So that would be the preferred. If wheat is your best tasting matzah, that's what we assume. So beseder. If for some reason you can't get wheat, so then it would follow that you should use whatever type of grain you prefer most from the other four types of grain, because the wheat is not an option. Number three, when any flour is prepared, so there's a process by which the wheat is ground up and then sifted. When you sift the flour, what you're doing is you're separating the mursun and the subin, the chaff and the other parts of the wheat stalk besides the actual kernel of wheat. The wheat germ and the bran, that's the subin and mursun, that's what you're filtering out. And the part known as the endosperm is what remains, and that's used, that's what we grind up in order to produce the flour. And that's really the difference between regular wheat and whole wheat whenever you buy bread. White bread is all the parts separated out other than the endosperm, whereas whole wheat includes everything ground up together, and that's why whole wheat is so high in fiber. The Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of Siman Tufnun Dalet, says that if a person would take all the other stuff that was filtered out, even though it grew together on the wheat stalk with the wheat, if you'd make matzah from all those other ingredients, that would not constitute matzah at all because you took out the kernel. However, if you make whole wheat flour where the kernel and the germ and the bran had never been separated from the kernel, but you ground it up all together, that would be acceptable because in that scenario, they comprise a single unit of wheat flour because the extraneous parts haven't yet been separated. So that would follow that one should choose regular matzah or whole wheat matzah based on his taste. If you like the taste of whole wheat matzah, then you should buy that. If you're going to enjoy it more at the Seder and eat it more at the Te'avon, that's a form of hiddur mitzvah. It's interesting that there may be another reason why there's a hiddur in whole wheat matzah if all else is equal. That's because the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gemara that we know historically the reality was that before the advent of modern healthy eating trends, sifted flour was considered the highest quality and the more expensive, and whole wheat flour was what people use for poor men's bread. Nowadays, even rich people eat whole wheat bread because it's supposed to be healthier, but perhaps there's more of a quality of lechem oni because maybe even today, traditionally, we always viewed whole wheat flour as poor man's bread. Now, what about people who are celiac or allergic to wheat? So we said the option before is wheat when you're producing the matzah. That's the Mishnah Berurah's explanation of why the Ramah says that you choose wheat because that's what people enjoy the most. But that can be very difficult for someone who has these conditions to tolerate. And even if they have just a kezias, the minimum kezias of a matzah, the Seder, we can have as many as five kezias. And when you think about the afikomen and korech and so on and so forth, there's really more than one kezias. But on a daraisa level, the absolute minimum is one kezias. And even that can be very difficult for someone with a wheat allergy or a similar condition. So what options are there? Matzah made out of oats has been the most popular alternative because oats have dramatically lower, maybe zero gluten, maybe you can fill me in, zero gluten content, and therefore it's much safer and tolerable for a person who has allergies to wheat or similar condition. Originally, there was a matzah factory in London that began producing this about 30, 40 years ago. There's a big bakery in Lakewood that does a lot of the oat matzah production nowadays, but there's at least one objection to using oats, and that's why it gets a little complicated. Originally, Poskim even suggested that a person eating oat matzah at the Seder should be yotze with the mitzvah, with the bracha, asher kishon mitzvah zivano al chilas matzah, with someone else who's eating regular matzah. Why? Why should there be any objection to eating oat matzah? So we said before the reason why there are masses we should prefer wheat matzahs because that's the tastiest. The Marsham gives another reason why wheat is supposedly preferred in this minhag. And he says it's because we have guidelines and we have limits, time limits that Chazal provided for us in our Masorah, when it comes to baking matzah, the number, the 18 minutes and so forth, that comes from a Masorah, a Torah Shebaal Peh, of how we produce matzah. Now, it could be that the Masorah that we received in how to produce matzah was strictly speaking only for the classic wheat matzah variety. And therefore, we're not comfortable relying on guidelines that were given to us for wheat matzah and applying them to oat matzah when maybe some of the guidelines should actually be different. It's sort of like what we discussed last week when it comes to matzah production in a factory. When they first started making matzah bakeries with automated machinery, so there were some poskim who were hesitant to use those matzahs because maybe the guidelines and the time frame that we're used to in producing matzah, those were given to us with the classic context of standard matzah hand production that had always been practiced in Klal Yisrael way before the industrial age when people started making matzah machines. So that's a similar concept at work over here. There was another quirk in the original production of oat matzahs. The oats needed to be heat treated to prevent them from becoming rancid in storage. I mentioned the other day that Manischewitz matzah website says that you can leave a batza matzah for about 2 or 3 years and it won't spoil in any way, won't become rancid. Whatever it is about oats, perhaps the oats are different than the wheat, they need to be treated with heat first before you even produce the matzah in order for them to stay well in storage. So as a result, we're faced with the following question. We said before that you need to have one of the five grains, and the five grains are five grains that can become chametz stick, and the things that can become chametz stick are the items that we use specifically for matzah. Once you heat treat the oats, they can no longer become chametz. That's just the way the biology works. So therefore, if you heat treat the oats and they can no longer become chametz, maybe they're now pusel to be used for matzah. On the other hand, the Rambam says that no, it's not the pshat that these items need to actually have the potential to become chametz, as long as the species is from the list of species that in theory ever had that potential of becoming chametz, then it's acceptable to use them for matzah. So this was subject to debate as to whether or not we could rely on that opinion of the Rambam, that even after they've been heat treated and they could never actually become chametz, but was the fact that originally the oats were from that family of grains that become chametz, was that acceptable to use them at the Seder? Number eight, to close the topic of matzah baking, it's important also to note that we're very particular as part of the guidelines that Chazal gave us in ensuring that our dough does not become chametz. We're very concerned about climate control to make sure that the matzah baking environment, as well as ingredients, are stored and are always find themselves in a way that's most conducive to avoid chimas. For example, in Siman Tafnun Hei in Shulchan Aruch, one prominent aspect of this is what we call Mayim Shalonu. Mayim Shalonu, not our water, but Mayim Shalonu, like Lina, water that stayed overnight. You draw water from a well, from some sort of underground source, and the halacha is that that water has to remain drawn. If I draw it on a Monday, I have to keep it in some sort of container, protected, and then first use it on Tuesday to bake matzahs. I can't, you know, first thing in the morning, get up early on Tuesday, draw water from the well, and then use it for matzah on the same day on Tuesday. The reason for that is Chazal understood that based on certain celestial forces, water can be impacted, even if it's very subtly, when it is overnight in the underground water source. And as a result, the heat may be a little higher than normal and can heat up the chemitz process when the water is then added to the flour to make the dough. So under normal circumstances, it's imperative that the water not be exposed to this. And that's why we only use mayim shalanu. There's even a discussion in the postgame about what about the people in the southern hemisphere who have very, very warm conditions around this time of year, even though it was a little bit snowing this morning. So Tzvi Pesach Frank suggests maybe even baking matzahs during their summertime, which is our wintertime, because that's when it's cold and you want to keep the water as cold as possible. Or maybe they should add ice cubes if they didn't have that option, and so on and so forth. Drawing of this water, the Rama writes, are only done by a Jew because it's part of the machshir and mitzvah, and therefore lechatchila a Jew should be involved in. And the Achronim even add that when they draw the water, the mayim shalanu, or that will be mayim shalanu from the well, the people drawing the water should say l'shem matzas mitzvah, just like we say as we're actually making the dough and rolling the dough and mixing the flour in the water, l'shem matzas mitzvah, because like we said before, there has to be shmura matzah, shmura l'shem mitzvah. You always have to have in mind, beyond protecting the water from chimutz, even drawing the water and protecting the water from becoming chimutz, you have to make sure that you have in mind, I'm doing it l'shem matzah, shmura, shmira l'shem, the mitzvah of producing matzahs and ultimately for eating the matzahs. And some say that's even likuva. So even that stage in the process of procuring the water requires shmira l'shem mitzvah, just like harvesting the grain and mixing the flour to the water and producing the matzah that we're more familiar with. And number 10, finally, we know that there's no other ingredients in matzah other than flour and water. What about salt and other spices? Does that make a difference? So along similar lines, what we said, the post can write that you can't add even a little because these additives may impact the dough and cause faster chimitz. Our guidelines of 18 minutes, that works with the flour and water, the simple wheat matzahs perhaps, and nothing else. Once you add salt or spices, you may be increasing the heat and making it move faster along the process and therefore disqualifying the matzah from normal use. However, if a person would produce matzah as usual, then sprinkle on some salt, or what they used to do is they smeared salt water or fruit juice to give it some taste, and then put it back in the oven and bake that in. Assuming you don't you're not makbid for gebruchs, that would be okay. It's 100% kosher for Pesach because once you bake it straight, water and flour, nothing else, the status of the matzah and the impossibility for chimitz has set in, and anything you add later as a topping, chocolate or whatever you want, is permissible. It's not going to affect the chimitz. You can't eat it at the Seder because it's not lechem oni, so you can't fulfill the mitzvah, but it would be acceptable, just like any other matzah that you would use over the course of a Pesach, because once it's baked properly with the right ingredients and no additives, it's 100% zero chametz, and anything you add later is not going to affect it.